In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Time for Issues Etc. blog of the week, then soundbite of the week in just a few minutes. Now, you can always have your blog. Now, does everyone on the planet now have a blog? Is that now official? I don't, but I think I'm pretty certain Jeff doesn't. Craig, I don't know. He probably does. No, you don't? Okay, so we're the last three human beings on Earth.
You don't need one. You just comment on everybody else's.
That's right. When you have a radio show, you hardly need a blog. And Jeff is so active voicing his opinions in various sports blogs in Edwardsville that he doesn't need one either. Who knows what Craig does? He just goes home and watches his big screen TV. Who needs a blog when you've got high def football? But I think we are the last three guys on the planet who don't have one, which means we have a lot of time and a lot of blogs to read. And if you'd like us to read yours, and if you'd like us to not only read them, comment on them, but consider them as the blog of the week here on Issues Etc., just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, scroll down, you're going to find the Issues Etc. widget. It's just a little badge you can put on your blog, very easy to do. When you've done that, email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Let us know you did. We'll start reading your blog. And you may hear it as the Issues Etc. blog of the week.
And again, we paraphrase many times from these blog posts. My pick of the week is Pastoral Meanderings by Pastor Larry Peters. The blog post is titled The New Reformation. While many others and I myself have spoken of the great need to return to the Lutheran confessions, to a renewed catechetical emphasis within the parish, and to the divine service as the basis for the liturgical life of the parish, I want to make it clear that it is not Luther's Reformation that we need to fight again. The world has changed, people have changed, and the battle before us is far different than the battle of Luther's day. Everyone believed there was a God in Luther's day, but most believed this God was an angry ogre who would rather punish than forgive, who forced people to jump through hoops to satisfy him, and whose word was more law than anything else. The gospel had been shrouded in law to the point where its voice was hidden and almost silent within the average parish. Fear had replaced trust. Luther's own personal struggle was a reflection of the fears and concerns of the people of his day. Today we live in a different world. The God of today is no consuming fire or even a present force. The God of today is distant from day-to-day life, who holds to no abiding truths except love and acceptance, and who treats sin and rebellion with the casual shrug of an indifferent deity. The God of today is an individual creation with ingredients from many holy books, philosophers, theologians, and spiritual guides, a conglomeration of pieces stitched together and restitched in the minds of people to fit the prevailing mood. Let's see, I better shorten this up because you're not going to have any time for yours. We do not need to battle the Reformation of Lutheran's day all over again. We have a new battle, and it requires a new Reformation. This Reformation is not a representation of old ideas, but an embrace of that which is yesterday, today, and forever the same, the abiding truth that alone allows us to abide in Him and He in us. This Reformation is a ship adrift on a sea of uncertainty, seeking to hold anchor in the truth that does not change. This Reformation may require more law before the gospel can be heard again. The conviction of sin and death and our desperate need before we can rejoice in the holy hope that the cross and empty tomb affords. My pick for blog of the week, Pastoral Meanderings by Pastor Larry Peters.
Well, very well. Mine comes from a blog called The Shepherd's Study. I believe it's Jeremiah Gum who writes this blog. He has a recent post called God Hates the Sin, Not the Sinner. Really? He says, it seems to me that something is missing from that statement. Now I realize that when a statement is made in such a pithy way, there's usually more that could be said, or at least more explanation. The missing component in this particular statement, God hates the sin, not the sinner, however, seems to make this statement not quite scriptural, or at very least vague enough that it could be easily misunderstood. The component that seems to me to be missing is the fact that apart from Christ, God, who is holy and just, hate the sinner because of the sin. At the same time, does not the same God, who is gracious and loving, love the sinner because of the Savior? Perhaps such questions could be put into a pithy form that is clearer than the statement above. He suggests this. I think it's a very good suggestion. Instead of saying God hates the sin but loves the sinner, we should say God hates the sinner because of the sin. God loves the sinner because of the Savior. Very good. I've been looking for that one for a long, long time. My pick for blog of the week, God hates the sin, not the sinner, really, from the Shepherd's Study. We'll have both of our picks this week posted at our website tonight, issuesetc.org, under the on-demand page.